I was a children's pastor. I don't know how many. How long did we pastor children for? I mean, we still are. We've still got a family that you feel like you're pastoring. How many know kids you just continually pastor them? We must have done it for 5-7 years. I had a blast. And yeah. So if you haven't been if you enjoy working with kids, can I encourage you? It's a great place to be. Because they just soak stuff up. And I just encourage you again there, you know, with your children, get them praying at home, get them praying for you. Seriously, I would get Maddie especially. I'd get him to pray for me, and there was a tenacity. He just had this childlike faith, and honestly, 9 times out of 10, I'd get healed. He sort of became my first go-to person. I encourage you. Raise our kids up in the supernatural, because I tell you, when you've touched the supernatural, it's really hard to walk away. You've got to work a bit harder, I reckon, when you've tasted the supernatural. Anybody agree with me? Okay, you guys are ready to worship, but now you're like, Chris, you're messing with me. I'm not sure, you know. I just feel like I got to warm you up a little bit. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1. We've heard it already over the past couple of weeks. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As I was working on this message this week, and I tell you what, you're getting your value out of me this week. Normally I can knock a message out in sort of 8 to 12 hours. I reckon there's been like, this is 30 hours of work this week. Mainly because I just had to keep spending time with Jesus. and I'd look at something, and so I looked at the breadth of stuff this week. Was huge, and I've had an awesome week with Jesus, just discovering, but also kind of feeling like I was bringing something to birth, bringing something out into the open that even for me in my life that I hadn't... I'd had a partial revelation, but God wanted to do something more. And anyway, got sidetracked there. As I was working on this week, I read one commentary, and it talks about how offering ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and how a living sacrifice tends to crawl off the altar. You know, we tend to crawl off the altar and we get focused on other things, and then we come like, hang on, my whole life and being pertains to God. And so it was interesting that Paul was urging us here, brothers and sisters, in light of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Continually bring yourself to that place of bringing a sacrifice of praise to God. And I want to start with that message today because worship starts with God. And I want to be really clear that I totally 100% believe that. Because I'm going to talk a bit this morning about worshiping when we are using music or we're out using our voice or here on a Sunday morning. But actually, Ruth and I were talking last night, and we kind of feel like there's a fresh quest in us to help people understand that actually we don't live a dualistic life. We don't have a secular life and a God life. That all things pertain to God. And so how can we continually be doing life with God? Now, I've been doing that for a number of years. But as I've been speaking to people recently, I've been going, man, there's a lot of people who are still kind of, they've got a Sunday life and they've maybe got a 15 minutes in the morning life with God. But where is God on the rest of the day? I'm like, why would you want to do that? But unless you've been trained and shown that there's a better way, that's what you do. It starts with God. Now, I like to ask the question, why? Why does God want us to worship him. I mean, seriously, he's got a whole bunch of angels on the job. Have you read the Bible lately? He got a whole bunch of angels who are continually worshipping him. Helen Keller, or who was Helen Keller's teacher? Anyway, you know who I'm talking about when I talk about Helen Keller, the blind woman, said, obedience without understanding is blindness. And so in my Christian walk, I like to understand why I do something. Why is God asking me and looking to me? Children, if you can give them the reasoning behind something, you will find that obedience sometimes comes better. If they can understand, oh, okay, right, I see, I get that. And so I'm like that with God, because in John 15:15, he says that I am no longer a servant to him, because a servant doesn't know the master's business, but he says about me that I am a friend of God. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So God wants to make things known to us, the reasoning behind things. Caveat, sometimes he says, just do it because I'm God. Like we do as parents sometimes. Because I'm your father. You won't understand why this is important, or if I tell you why this is important, it will bring, you will lose an innocence with it. So on this one, just do what I'm asking. But I don't believe worship is necessarily like that. And so I want to take us back into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy being the fifth book of the Torah, the last book of the Torah. And the book of Deuteronomy is Moses preparing the next generation who have grown up within the desert to go into the promised land. And so the beginning of Deuteronomy starts with them going over and reiterating the Torah, but then there is a pause. It's called the Shema. And at the Shema, that's when Moses starts to bring out what we could term the second law. Deuteronomy, coming from the word Deuteronium, it sounds like geranium, which essentially means the second law. And so what he's doing is they needed the Ten Commandments to help them to start to understand how they live outside of 400 years of captivity. But then they've been through the desert, and now they need some things that are going to help them to live in the new freedom that they are going to experience in the promised land. Going into the promised land is a type and a foreshadow of you and I coming into the New Testament, into relationship with Jesus. They go through the Jordan. It's like a baptism as they come into a new life. And so he's preparing them to go in and to live a new life, and to live a new life well. And so the focal point comes there at the beginning of the Shema, where he gives the greatest commandment. Have you ever noticed that the greatest commandment wasn't within the Ten Commandments? What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He's talking about a loving God with your whole being. The fascinating thing about that is that I don't believe that we can love God with our whole being without first experiencing his love. If we remain in his love, it's kind of like this circular thing that has to take place. But the ultimate thing, he's wanting us to be able to worship him with our whole mind, body, spirit, soul. And so the focal point, again, he's bringing back to God. The greatest, the first commandment was, anybody want to tell me what it was? First commandment? Yeah, love the Lord, love God, and have no other gods before me. So coming back into Deuteronomy and him preparing them to go into the promised land, we get a big clue as to why he wants us to obey him and to worship him and to put him first and for him to be essentially our focal point. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, it says, do these things that it may go well for you and your children. And then in verse 5, verse 16, it says a very similar thing, that it may go well for you and for your children. And then in verse 33, and then in chapter 6, verse 19, and then in chapter 12, verse 25, and then in chapter 12, verse 28. He's giving the new law, he's giving this new set of commandments, he's giving this new way of living and putting God first. And the whole reason is that it may go well for them as they go into the promised land. So if God is asking us to put him as number one, and he's asking us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, it's in order that it may go well for us. That is the heart of the Father. See, it's very hard to separate out worship from blessing. And I think we kind of get a little bit stuck with this because we're kind of like, well, no, worship's got to be all about God. It's all got to be about God. It's got to be about God. But I tell you what, whenever you come to the Father in worship, he's always got something he's given back. Even if it's you are just worshiping him, because it transforms you as you worship him. So he wants us to be the focal point. How does the Bible start? First four words of the Bible. I'm not letting you off this one. You've got to tell me. In the beginning, God. What's? First four words, in the beginning, God. He is the focal point. He is the origin of which everything that we know flows. You, me, the earth, the universe, he is the focal point. And see, he wants us to get the focal point right, because when we get the focal point right, everything else flows as it should. That's why it's so important for us to be continually looking for him and looking to get ourselves in line with the focal point. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they would often come to God and worship him with sacrifices to get themselves in the right place with God. In the New Testament, the sacrifice has been offered, and we are in the right place with God. We are the righteousness of Christ. And so where they had to worship in those days to get right with God, we get to worship out of being right with God. Wow! We get to worship out of having received the free gift of life, having received total transformation, having received forgiveness of our sin. We get to worship out of that place. And so in the New Testament, as I approach worship, we approach worship as who? As I no longer call you, I call you. So when we come to worship in the New Testament, we approach the throne of grace as a friend of God. Now, it's even better than that. Because ultimately, what is he looking for us to be? All the guys love it. We all love this. He's looking for us to be the most intimate union that you and I know. A covenantal relationship. When we come in the New Testament, we approach as a friend and as the bride of Christ. So on a Sunday morning when I walk in here, I'm approaching as a friend and as a bride, and I want to know what's on my... I want to know what's on my lover's mind. My wife is always very interested in what I'm thinking. I don't know why. Most of the time, you really don't want to know what I'm thinking. But my bride is interested in what is on my heart. She's interested. As we approach worship, if we come from that place of we are friends and we are the bride. Now, sometimes when we approach... So I'm always coming to put him as my focal point. Always looking for him to be my focal point, because from there, everything falls into order. But I've got to get him. He has to be number one in my life. I wouldn't want it any other way. But I'm also inquiring and making myself available in that to what is his agenda. What is it that he wants in that moment where he is absolute the focal point? Now, I'm looking to do that in my life, but there are certain times in the week where I'm setting aside time like Jesus did, went out, saw what is the Father doing. I'm looking, when I'm worshiping him in that, I'm looking for what is the agenda that you're setting. And I'm doing that on Sunday morning. And some days, it's just like, son, just worship me. Just keep lifting my name up. Just keep telling me who I am. Because that's bringing a transformation. You've been walking through some stuff where there's been some stuff this week and it's just been trying to tell you something different about who I am. I just feel like I have to say Lara on that. You've been walking through some stuff this week where it's been trying to tell you I'm something different to who I am. You've been walking through some stuff this week, son, that's been trying to tell you you are something different to who I say you am. So today, just worship. Just worship. And then some days, when I'm worshiping him, there'd just be like this prophetic flow. And he's just showing me things, and I'm speaking into things, and I'm aligning with him, and together we're setting captives free, and we're breaking things out, and we're setting things in motion. And I love those days. And some days when I'm out, I'm worshiping him, there's just like this healing flow. And I'm just like, wow. And so I find myself just starting to speak healing into people's lives, or maybe speaking healing over my life. And some days there's a conviction where he's just like, hey, I love you so much. Hey, what about this? Hey, let's just work together and sort that out, eh, son? It's just, yeah. I'm here to, yeah, I'd really love you. It'd be really awesome if we got this sorted. And so there's a conviction. But I'm looking for, what is the agenda of heaven? What is my Father who has asked me to put him number one, but is my friend and my bride? What is he doing in this time and in this moment in order that I can align with him? Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. It's been messing with me this year about doing what I see the Father doing rather than what I want to do. He's actually really interested in what we want to do, but he just likes us to put him focal point. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be looked after. Now, I can do that whether you're with me or not. I can worship, I can meet God. But you know, there is something on a Sunday morning that we, on a Sunday morning, or maybe even a small group, or where there is a gathering of believers, that we can only see when there is a gathering of believers. And you know what that is? Well, there's probably a few things. But the one thing that God was really emphasizing to me this week was that when we come as a gathering of believers, there is an amplification that can take place. Now let's think of some scriptures that back that up. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 That's pretty serious amplification. If you gave me $1,000 right now and I gave you $10,000 back, you'd be pretty jolly happy with that. Deal. When brothers dwell together in unity, he bestows his blessing. There's something about people being together. Then what did Paul encourage us to do? Do not forsake the gathering of believers. Why? Well, again, there's a few reasons, but one of the reasons he really hits is, but be encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. Now, how many people have been going through the day, they've been doing something, and then someone comes in and encourages what they're doing? You feel that lift, that amplification of, yeah, I could keep doing this. When we come on in a corporate gathering, there's an amplification. Because I'm encouraged by the sound I hear behind me, which is normally Rose. I'm encouraged by Rose worshiping. And then I'm encouraged by the team that I see up here. And then I'm encouraged by the people. And then I'm encouraged by the people who have got every reason not to praise God, but they are praising him anyway. I am encouraged. And there is an amplification that takes place. You see, it blows me away, having led many services over the years, of how the Holy Spirit can be moving in a room. And you've got someone over here who is in grief because they've lost something and they are finding the comfort of the Father. While you've got someone over here who has just had the most incredible breakthrough and they're just lifting God up and they're just joyous and they're yelling out and they're shouting out Jesus. This person over here is encountering God. This person over here is encountering God. It amazes me the multiplicity of things that can take place on a Sunday morning or in a corporate gathering. And that is awesome. But can I also encourage you that there is something incredibly powerful when a congregation or a gathering or a group of people pick up and get God as a focal point, pick up what he is doing, get in alignment with it, and go with it. We came in here this morning ready to worship. Why? Because for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the alignment of ourselves in worship. And so this morning when we came in, there was something that was ready. We came in ready to worship God. And oh my goodness, I am expecting big things from this Sunday morning. Yeah. I really am. I want to get through this, give some tools so that we can get back in, get him the focal point, be in unity, align with him, and see what happens in this place. So, And that is a big part of what our worship team and our worship leaders are looking to on a Sunday morning, and hopefully been preparing themselves for a period of time leading up to that, is what you're going to be the focal point. What is it you're looking to do on that particular Sunday morning, God? What are the gifts that you want to give out? See, if we come and we put in focal point, then we also need to get an alignment with if he wants to give us something. Is that okay? I think sometimes people have got trapped in, oh no, it's just God, it'll be about God. Actually, sometimes it's getting alignment into what he wants to give us as well. Have you ever tried to give a gift to someone and they haven't wanted to accept it? And you're kind of like, it's really awkward, isn't it? You know, it's like, you know, everyone on Fight Club, I've been trying to give them gelato for the last 2 weeks. Just not taking it. Do you understand the focal point? Alignment, allowing resonance, so we resonate with what heaven is doing, which brings an amplification. You probably go back into physics. Remember how waves work. You ever been on a swing bridge and everyone gets into time? Ever been on a swing bridge and everyone's out of time? But when you get a group of kids and they love to get a swing bridge. And ever been on a trampoline and you're trying to jump and it's just you're getting no air because everyone's out of time. But then someone goes up and then the other person, they see them when they're coming down and then they just go, and amplification takes place and you skyrocket them. But it's the smallest of movement from the person that's on the trampoline. Send them up. That's what it's like when we get into alignment with what God is doing. We get in the resonance of heaven and amplification takes place. And so we get a chance to do that on a Sunday morning in a corporate gathering. God loves to align a body. Simon talked about Jehoshaphat last week and the 4,000 going out as cannon fodder before the army. I said to the team this morning, I said, I'm going out as cannon fodder for you. You get to come on afterwards this morning and you just get to enjoy hopefully a platform that we've been able to set. But what happened was as they got into worship, they caught the resonance of what God had said to them, which sent an amplification out into the enemy's camp, and they got thrown into chaos. They started fighting each other. Jericho, the walls came down when they blew the trumpets. They walked around and then they blew the... They were in resonance with what was taking place in heaven. You know, I suspect some mornings or even during the week when we're worshiping that our praises are going out and sending shockwaves into the enemy's camp. And there are battles being fought that we don't even know about. God, I believe God wants us in innocence as much as we can be. That's why we're in the garden and he didn't tell us what would happen if you ate the tree in great detail. Because he wanted to maintain an innocence. When we the shockwaves get sent out into the enemy's camp, our praise is incredibly powerful. The Old Testament gives us many pictures of that. And so as I'm working on this again this week, I said, God, help people to understand why you move in waves. Because over years, I've experienced waves of the Holy Spirit. I experienced probably many Sunday mornings here, just waves of the Holy Spirit moving through this place. I go, God, help me to communicate. Why is it? Why do you do that? You're my friend. I'm intimate with you. Can you let me in on this? And he said, well, Chris, what did I do on the first day? And I said, well, you created light and you created darkness. And he said, well, you know how light and darkness moves around the globe. You ever seen one of those graphs that shows you where it's dark and where it's light? It's like a wave, isn't it? He created a wave. What did he do on the second day? He brought a separation between the water and the water above and the water below. What responds to waves? Water. He said, how do you refer to the Holy Spirit so often? Oh, it's like the breath of God or the wind of God or at Pentecost. There's a mighty rushing wind that came. A wind moves in waves. Jesus, when he was praying for the disciples, when he had risen, he was praying for them to receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And so who are we? We are a rhythmic people. Pudum, 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 pudum. There's a constant rhythm within us. The heart, we talk about the heartbeat of the Father, the rhythm of the Father. And so if we want to resonate, which brings amplification, it means getting in alignment with what is the wind of the Holy Spirit doing? What is the breath of God doing? What is the heartbeat of God doing? And when we align with that, oh my goodness, walls fall down. Enemies' camp goes into chaos and they start fighting themselves, and we fight battles simply with our arms in the air. How incredibly awesome is that? So I wanted to share all of that first this morning, because now we have an opportunity to go, okay, focal point, I want to look to a line. What is he doing? I want to get in resonance with that, and let's see what happens through the amplification. That is the opportunity. And so maybe as we go this morning, I met with Dan and Hannah this week just to talk about this service. And so maybe this, as we go, Dan may say, hey, look, there's something going on here. Let's just push in here. Or you may see the musicians catching a hold of something and building it and building it and building it and building it, because they're catching a wave of what God is doing. Or you may even see there's a moment where they just bring it all down quiet. And that's the, by the way, that is the hardest thing as a minister, whether you're leading by speaking on the stage or leading, that is the hardest thing to do. Because you're leaving that space and you're not seeing a lot, but you're just trusting God that something is happening in the hearts of people at that time. And it's incredibly important that if you get comfortable with doing that, man, there's incredible breakthroughs that can happen for people. But if you ever see the musicians just creating that quiet space, know that they're working actually in that moment really hard. So they could be tuned in. How long do we keep this going? There's a time this morning where I just felt to be quiet with the kids and just allow them to hear God. And I wanted to do something. I'm like, no, I'm just waiting for when the Holy Spirit says go. So I suspect we'll see a little bit of all of that this morning. There'll be some building. There'll be some quiet times. I want to encourage you, get him your focal point and let's get in resonance with him. Let's see what happens this morning. Is that cool? Was that helpful? Yeah, good. Awesome. Okay. Have you forgiven me for sort of messing with your service so that we can get... Okay. While the team's coming, I just want to prophesy over a few people because I just believe God wants to say some things to a few people. So, yeah, team, just come. Here's one. Was there someone this morning that you got up? You're in the... Maybe in the bathroom, I think. I sort of get a sense you were looking in a mirror. And you were just like, I would really like to receive a prophetic word today. I want to hear, I want someone to come up and just give me a word from God. Is there someone here this morning that happened to? I'm pretty sure there is, because otherwise God wouldn't have been leading me down this way. So please don't leave me hanging. Please don't leave me here. Was there someone this morning just thought, come out. I thought so. Well, no, actually I didn't. But you stood out to me this morning as I walked into church. Again, Jonathan. Yeah, cool. Just as Jonathan's come on up stage, Jonathan. Liz, I just felt a word for you.
Your love is endless. Your love is endless. Your love is endless.
Crossing over to the other side, dressed